Hello again, and welcome to the short red flag series. Remember that these are the symptoms, these are the problems, and we need referral pathways, making sure that we understand what the red flags are so that we can send these clients to the right people if necessary. It also means that we're asking the right questions so that our course of action is in line with what is needed for our client, along with their medical support that they're getting. So menorrhagia is what we're talking about today. And that does, as you know, mean excessive menstrual bleeding loss. And it's bleeding loss that interferes with the woman's emotional, social, everything else way of life. Around 30% of women describe their periods as heavy. But heavy is different for different people. So we have to remember that heavy bleeding, saturated pads, frequent changing, they have accidents, they have flooding, and they have clots. Prolonged bleeding, 8 days of menstruation, heavy bleeding, more than 4 days. So we really want to think, what are some of these symptoms? So persistent intermenstrual or postcoital bleeding, those are red flags. An unexplained vulval lump or vulval bleeding as a result of ulceration, why is that there? Red flag. A palpable abdominal mass that's not obviously uterine fibroids, why is there a mass? There should be no mass. Like myself, may not be doing any hands-on work because I don't see enough clients within a group of people and I'm working online to see them. So when I hear these things, when they say they have these things, it's immediate referral to their GP to be put on the pathway to see a specialist. Remembering that around half of the women with menorrhagia have dysfunctional uterine bleeding and they don't have an underlying cause that can be medically found. So let's look at other possible causes. So uterine and ovarian pathologies. So we've got fibroids, endometriosis, adenomyosis, pelvic inflammatory disease, and pelvic infection. We've got to really ask those questions when they come to speak to us. You know, what is your past life like? What about protected, unprotected sex? I'll get into that in a moment. Let's just go through these possible causes. Endometrial polyps, hyperplasia, carcinoma, polycystic ovary syndrome, systemic diseases and disorders, so hyperthyroidism, liver, renal disease, there's other areas that can result in bleeding from the pelvis. Coagulation disorders, von Willebrand's disease, anticoagulant therapy, chemotherapy, antiuterine contraceptive devices. So blood loss may be increased by 40 to 50% over 6 to 12 months compared to pre-insertion values. So that obviously isn't going to make an intrauterine contraceptive device a viable option for those women. So when we're taking that history, what do we ask? We ask about the age of menarche. So we ask about the age when they first started their period. Then we ask about the average length of their menstrual cycle. Do they have excessive bleeding, clots, persistent intermenstrual bleeding? So is there bleeding between periods? What about postcoital bleeding? So after sex, underlying systemic disorders, anything that they know of. We really want to know their family history of endometriosis or coagulation disorders. So that can be when we ask that family history, does mum or dad take an aspirin every day? Does your nose bleed for longer? Do you have a history of nosebleeds in the family? So we need to ask bleeding questions as well. What is their cervical smear status? Now, that's really important, remembering that we've gone from this old style of cervical smears, which was every 2 years, to now every 5 years because the way they do them in the labs has changed. But we do have to make sure that if they were in the two-year system, they have actually gone on to this new system of pap smear. Contraceptive use, family planning, and what is the impact on their quality of life from this excess bleeding? Now, we aren't going to be doing that examination, so we have to ask those questions, make sure that they're breast checking, make sure that they're wobbling their breasts, they're checking, they're visually checking, they're feeling, and that they are getting, when they go for that pap smear, they are also having their breasts checked as well. Now, when they go for that pap smear, they're going to have an internal examination. And sometimes we just need to explain to them what that is. And I prefer that my ladies are booked in with a female doctor for the pap smear. The only reason I do that is because I think that it can be less threatening, especially for people who haven't had one before. Swabbing is what will be undertaken and a bit of a scrape. They will feel it when it's happening. When they're being examined, they're going to look visually as well into the area. So our client has to understand that there is going to be that a bit of embarrassment possibly from them, but there will not be that level of embarrassment from the GP, who will already have done at least a dozen pap smears that week, let alone how many they've done them since they qualified. We do need to look as well at systemic signs of underlying disease. You know, is there any endocrine disease there? Is there any hirsutism, striae, thyroid enlargement? What about skin pigmentation? Are there nodules? What about bruising or petechiae, which could suggest coagulation disorders as well? When they go for those investigations, so they're going to have the pap smear, but a full blood count should be performed, and especially looking for iron deficiency anemia when we've got this excess bleeding. We really want to know, are they anemic and what do they need to have to up that iron? Do they need injections? Is the B12 okay as well? Thyroid function testing should certainly be carried out if there's any suggestion of thyroid disease. Now, tests for bleeding disorders such as von Willebrand disease, if the woman has had menorrhagia since her menarche and has a personal family history that suggests a bleeding disorder. So then also cervical screening opportunistically, because it might be 5 years, but it could have been just the start at 5 years. So if at the 3 year mark, things have really changed and we've got no age change, because there's often heavy bleeding when it comes to moving into menopause. So if you've got a 26 year old in front of you and they had a smear when they were 24 and suddenly they've got dysfunctional bleeding that they've never had before, then that is reason for this additional examination to be enacted. Ultrasound may be an option as an initial investigation. When we've got intermenstrual bleeding or risk factors for endometrial pathology, we perhaps need that person to be referred to for a hysteroscopy. The ultrasound for those who refuse hysteroscopy referral, okay? There are limitations to ultrasound to detecting uterine cavity causes, so your heavy menstrual bleeding. And that does need to be explained to the client, and it will be by the doctor. What we're wanting to do is suss out, hey, something's dodgy here. We need this additional support and we need that referral. There are risk factors as well for endometrial pathology. So women with persistent intermenstrual or persistent irregular bleeding, women with infrequent heavy bleeding, perhaps obesity. We've got to think about polycystic ovary syndrome and women taking tamoxifen. We've got to look at those ones as well. We need to support our client, but we need to know what the underlying problem is and we need to spot those red flags, okay? Now, if the person has got extreme heavy bleeding, then they can, of course, there's medication from the doctor or there are some herbs that we can use, but we've got to figure out why. So is it fibroids that are bleeding or is it that they are perimenopausal and so they've got this dysfunctional bleeding going on? And so we perhaps are just going to be adding the iron and making sure that they're supported in other ways, along with our herbal and nutritional supplements. Remember, this is red flag discussion, and it is a lot about referral and making sure we've got those test results and making sure that we understand what the underlying problem is. So thank you for joining me, and I look forward to chatting with you on the next Red Flags podcast.